Do you really believe that all the world loves a lover?
Don't be so sure. Remember, this is...
People Are Funny.
Yes, transcribed from Hollywood, John Goodell's production of People Are Funny. And now, here's radio's top master of ceremonies, Art Linkletter.
Well, what an enthusiastic audience. Thank you very much. And if you think that our stunts are pretty silly on this show, perhaps you didn't read in the paper the other day about the man in North Dakota arrested for turning in 6 false alarms. And his excuse in court? Well, there hadn't been a fire for 3 weeks, and he was afraid the department was getting stale. Yeah, people are funny. And Roy Rowan, who's the first one tonight to prove it here in Hollywood?
Our engaged couple, Misty Lourd Kruger from Los Angeles and Mr. Dwayne Mellinger from Lake Arrowhead, meet Art Linkletter.
Hello.
Hello.
Now, Delourd, you were picked because you are engaged.
Yes, I am.
When are you getting married?
Next week.
Mr. Mellinger, what do you do up there in Lake Arrowhead, which happens to be one of our most beautiful resorts in Southern California?
Deputy Sheriff.
How long you been in the Sheriff's Department over there, Dwayne?
About 4 years.
Did you realize he was in the police department?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Do you work, Miss Kruger?
Yes, I do.
What do you do?
I'm a nurse. Oh. Santa Anita Hospital in Lake Arrowhead.
Well, at any rate, now that I found out a little bit about you, this is the main point of the whole stunt tonight. Do you believe, Miss Kruger, that strangers, people here, there, and everywhere, are sympathetic to a young couple that they know is about to be married?
I think so.
You know, they have the saying, don't they, all the world loves a lover? You've heard that, haven't you, Mr. Mellinger? Mm-hmm. Do you believe it?
I think so.
Uh-huh. Well, we're going to find out.
All right.
Not just casual, ordinary, everyday sympathy.
Didn't figure we would.
We didn't want any expressions from people of saying, oh, yes, they're a nice young couple. We're really going to put them to the test. Tonight, for the next half hour, you are going to pretend that you are eloping. Boys, would you bring out the bridal veil for her and the big white carnation for him? Now, you look like you're on the way to the altar to say I do in a quick wedding. And you'll be driven out of CBS and probably out of your minds. But at any rate, you'll leave here and go out into Hollywood, into a residential area. Now, I want you, Mr. Mellinger, to go up and knock on the door. Any house you pick out, when somebody answers, you tell them that you're on your way to get married with your lovely bride. You have her with you, of course, up on the porch. And that your car is broken down. You want to use the house phone in that house to call a friend to bring another car because it's an emergency. You want to get to the wedding. Now, that's easy, isn't it, Duane?
Of course.
All right. You think they'll help you out?
I think so.
They'll let you in and phone and all?
They ought to.
Yeah, I think so. That sounds easy. Now the plot begins to thicken. The man walking out on the stage right now. How do you do, sir? This is an actor, Mr. Ken Christie, who will be following along behind you two with another car. Now, you'll notice that he is old enough to be Miss Kruger's father. As a matter of fact, after you have picked out a house and gone in, he'll come pounding up to the door, and he'll say to the person who answers the door,
I'm looking for my daughter who's running away from home with some no-good loafer to be married. She's around here someplace. She come in here?
Now, that's what he's going to say. Now, the question is, Mr. Mellinger, what do you think the people in the house will say when they're confronted by this father?
Who knows?
Well, we don't. But we're going to find out who will the strangers in this house now sympathize with. Will they sympathize with a young couple and tell the father that they're not there, keep him out, or will they turn him over to the father? We'll find out. It should be interesting to learn. So on your way, elopers, on your way, papa, say goodbye, audience. There they go. Who's next, Roy?
Mr. Harold Green from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Meet Art Linkletter.
How do you do, Mr. Green?
Much better.
From where?
Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
What do you do there, Mr. Green?
I'm assistant office manager of Schlitz, the beer that made Milwaukee famous.
You are a married man, I presume?
Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. And you've heard the program?
Yes.
Well, now, the question about the show that occasionally is brought to our attention, Mr. Green, by letters and by phone calls and even in our own staff meetings, is whether or not sometimes some people are finding we go too far. Do you think so or not?
That depends, sometimes.
Yeah, well, for instance, one of our pet stunts on the show in the past has been where we dropped a man from a trick seat over a big tank of ice water down into the tank. Have you ever heard us do that?
Yes, I heard that.
Well, you're laughing. Apparently you get a kick out of that part of the show, do you?
Not too much.
Well, now, just a minute. Let's straighten one thing out here. You're getting a little suspicious. Suppose I told you that we have no intention of dropping you into the ice water. Now we can ask you a plain question. Do you believe that most people like to see somebody out of the show dropped into the ice water? Or do you think that they would rather not have it?
I think they do.
Most of them do, you
yeah.
think?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Well, that's one of the things that we want to find out, and we're going to use the show to find out about the show tonight. We have three guests off stage who were picked at random from all over the studio audience. They're tourists. They haven't heard any part of this stunt right here. Now, we're going to bring them in and ask them their opinion about the same question. If you are right and they would like to see a man dropped in a tank of water, why, you win a television set with panoramic vision just for yourself. But if you're wrong, well, I tell you, we've been talking about it. You might as well see it. Would you bring open the curtain, please, fellas? What do you see there, Mr. Green?
Tank of water.
And you see that seat up above it there?
Yes.
The collapsible support, that's our trick seat. Now, who do you think is going to sit on that seat over that tank ice water?
Well, it won't be me.
Why?
Well, I mean, that's what you said.
That's true. That is what I said. I said, and I will quote my words exactly. I said, suppose I told you it wouldn't be you. Why do you think we had you put on that suit of clothes instead of your own after you were picked out of the audience? Well, we didn't want you to have any accidents, no matter what happened. Mr. Green, up onto the seat, please. There he goes. And now he is sitting suspended, 6 feet above a tank of ice water, with a collapsible support holding the chair up, and that can collapse at any moment. And remember now, two out of three, if two out of three of the people who are going to be brought in here say that they want to see a man dropped, he won't be dropped because they agree with him. If two out of three say they don't like to see people treated this way, he will be dropped because he will have lost his pole. Am I right?
Right.
I've stated it fairly, haven't I, Mr. Green?
Sure.
All right, let's send in our first tourist. How do you do, madam? You just come right up to our microphone here. You are Mrs.
Ruth Smith.
Ruth Smith, where are you from?
From Toronto, Ohio.
I want you to look in the middle of the stage there and see something. What do you see up there?
Well, I see a man in a tank.
Yes, and he's sitting on a seat that's on a collapsible support. Now, the question is, would you, as a normal viewer coming in to see a show and watch a program or hear one, would you like to see that man get dropped and the seat collapse and go into the tank of water?
Yes, I would.
Now, wait a minute. I'd like to... I just want to know... I want you to know a couple of things. He's... You know, that man, I want you to know, first of all, is a guest out of the audience.
Yes, I know.
He's not getting paid.
No, I know he isn't.
And yet you want to see us drop him into the ice water with his clothes on.
Yes, I would. You feel any worse than I do.
Mr. Green, does this surprise you?
No, I can't say it does.
You, in other words, you are... what do you do for a living, Mrs. Smith?
I'm just a housewife.
Uh-huh. You don't dislike the man up there?
No, I don't.
Well, that's very interesting. You look so nice and sweet and everything, but you
want
to let him go.
Well, you want a definite answer, so that's it.
You gave it to me. Thank you. You just sit right down there, Mrs. Smith. Very interesting. Now, let's bring out the man next. How do you do, sir?
How do you do, Mr. Tinkler?
You're Mr.?
Cornish.
You are a man in your late 50s?
65.
65. And where are you from, Mr. Cornish?
Victoria, British Columbia.
A Canadian.
That's right.
What do you do? What have you done most of your life, Mr. Cornish?
In the Canadian Civil Service.
Well, now, Mr. Cornish, you've heard people are funny, haven't you?
That's right.
And you know that on this show we do some rather bizarre things.
Correct.
Occasionally hit people with things and so forth. And sometimes we've wondered whether or not we should. Now, if you look in the middle of the stage there, that's Mr. Green up there.
Mm-hmm.
He's a... Mr. Green, meet Mr. Cornish.
How do you do, Mr. Cornish?
That's no, yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Now, he's a contestant out of the audience, just like anybody else.
Okay.
And he's sitting up there on a seat that's collapsible, and that's ice water down there. And we wondered, sir, would you like to have see him get dropped into the tank of ice water?
I think so.
Well, I'm curious to know why. You have nothing against him, do you?
Oh, no.
Is there any particular reason, analyzing your own feelings about it, why you want to see him get dropped in there?
Oh, it'd be fun.
Do you want to get dropped in there, Mr. Green?
Not particularly, no.
He doesn't particularly want to get dropped in. But still, you'd like to see him.
I think so.
Uh-huh. You think the average person would?
I believe so, yes.
Uh-huh. Thank you, Mr. Cornish. Thank you very much. Well, ladies and gentlemen, he has won. 2 out of 3, the first two agreed with him that most people would like to see him dropped in. Mr. Green, we're going to let you down. Out of the tank and into safety, because you were right. Most people prefer to see people get tubbed. And thanks for helping us prove that people are funny. Thank you, Mr. Green. Who's next, Roy?
Mrs. Lucy Wright from Inglewood, California, and Mr. Louis Rich from Los Angeles. Meet Art Linkletter.
Hiya, folks. Do you know this lady, Mr. Rich?
Never met her before.
Now, you're both strangers to
yes.
each other. And you were picked out of the audience because you're both over 70 years of age, and we have a reason for this. Mrs. Wright, how old are you?
I'll be 72 the 4th of June.
And where do you come from?
I come from Atlanta, Georgia.
Mm-hmm. How long were you married?
48 years, the last day of this month.
Mm-hmm. Well, how'd you meet your husband? Can you remember?
On a merry-go-round.
Really? And it was kind of a flirtation from horse
yeah,
to horse.
Yeah, and I was on there with a pretty curly-headed boy. I don't know why he ever picked me out, though.
But have any children?
Oh, 5.
Mm-hmm.
Four boys and a girl.
Have you worked during your life?
Yes, I worked when I was 61 years old making automobile batteries.
What do you do now, Mrs. Wright?
Oh, nothing.
Mm-hmm. What were you doing 50 years ago today, I would
Raising think? Children.
Well, now let's talk to you, Mr. Rich. Where? How old are you?
I was 89 last October.
And you're in good health, aren't you?
Splendid.
You look it. A shock of white hair and a keen glance. What did you do in your lifetime to make a living, Mr. Rich?
I haven't got time to tell you all the items.
Take 89 years.
Yeah. Traveled with a circus and Wall Street broker. Ran a hotel in Chicago during the World's Fair in 93. Sold publicity stunts to banks and trust companies. And now I'm in the real estate business.
Still working?
Oh, working every day.
Well, that's wonderful. You ever make a fortune?
Yes, in New York in 16, 17, and 18, I cleaned up quite a little sum. I thought it was a fortune, but in 19, somebody else got it.
Oh, in other words, Wall Street made you fairly rich? About how much?
Oh, a little over $100,000.
And then you lost it all?
Every bit.
Oh, for goodness, but you're still going strong.
I came to California when the real estate business.
Yeah, are you married?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. How'd you meet your wife?
Well, strange as it may seem, I met her in that wheel at the World's Fair in Chicago. The Ferris wheel.
Well, isn't this a coinky-dinky? You met your husband on a merry-go-round.
Yes.
And you met your wife on a Ferris wheel.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Yeah, well, now, Mr. Rich, do you remember what you were doing 50 years ago?
Yes, very well indeed. 50 years ago, I was selling a publicity proposition to banks and trust companies.
All right, and you were raising children.
Yes.
The reason I've been asking these questions and the reason why these folks were picked, ladies and gentlemen, is that people are funny in a number of ways, and one of them is that they love to reminisce about the past. And somehow or another, the dear old dead days always seem better than they do today to most people. Do they to you, Miss Wright?
Yes.
Did you look back?
Yes, I'd like to live the gay 90s again.
Oh, 23 skidoo. Well, how about you, Mr. Rich?
Well, I'm satisfied with what I've had, and I wouldn't care to go over it again. I'm perfectly satisfied to live from day to day.
Well, that's a good philosophy, too. Well, we would like to take this opportunity to test your memories and to see whether or not they are firm and solid as to what happened 50 years ago. And here's how we'll do it. An all-wool lady's sweater in the year 1904 would have cost about how much, Mrs. Wright?
Oh, not over 50 cents.
What would you say, Mr. Rich?
I'd say $4.50.
Well, she is closer because they were selling for $1 in 1904. Would you reach in, Mrs. Wright, and pull out a slip? We'll see what you got just for the fun of it. Right. Just one of them. What does that say there?
The Look Speed record player.
All right, that's pretty good. A 3-speed record player. Now, 20 cigarettes in 1904 cost about what would you say, Mr. Rich?
The Picayune brand in New Orleans cost 5 cents for 20 cigarettes.
Well, I don't know about the Picayune brand, but we just got... Gee, he knows. Huh? The ones in the catalog were the normal ones. What would you have guessed?
I'd say 3 packs for a dime.
And you said what, 4 cents?
5 cents.
You're closer, because 20 cigarettes in those days cost 20 cents. Today, you can get the same pack for 19 cents. Yeah, that's right. That's right, according to the catalog. We look, but you're closer, Mr. Rich. You reach right in there. The Picayunes may have cost a nickel. I won't argue with you. But you can't tell. They might have had chicory in them. What did you get, Mr. Rich?
A 3-piece baseball outfit, ball, bat, glove.
And you know, if I don't miss my guess, he'll have a gang playing softball in the morning, and he'll be pitching. We just picked a number of things at random. They may be funny or they may be good. Now the next item. Infants' shoes. Kids' shoes. Not, you know, kids' shoes for infants. What would you say?
I'd say they cost 50 cents.
What would you say, Mr. Rich?
85 cents.
You're closer, Mrs. Wright. They were 25 cents. What do you think of that? Now you reach in there, and let's see what you got this time. One? Can you read?
One box of bird seed.
There really are some nice things in there. I don't know how they're getting these. Now we go into something the ladies may know a little more about, although I'm not sure Mr. Rich knows everything about everything. Yeah. Ladies' Lyle thread hose. What would you say they cost, Mr. Rich? A pair of hose, ladies' Lyle.
35 cents.
How much?
35 cents.
What would you say, Mrs. Wright?
I'd say 10 cents.
It was 29 cents. Mr. Rich is closer. 29 cents. Today you couldn't get them for under a dollar. What'd you get this time, Mr. Rich?
All-purpose home owner's 42-piece toolkit.
A beautiful, great big toolkit. Well, all right. Now we go along. This ought to be interesting. A 7-piece living room set. Stylish and sturdy. That's just the way they advertised them. What would you say, Mrs. Wright?
I'd say $125.
Mm-hmm. 7-piece living room set. What would you say, Mr. Rich?
$111.
What'd you say, Mr. Rich?
$125.
Well, Mr. Rich is closer. It was $23.60. Your memories are failing because things have really gone up in that line. What'd you just have, Mr. Rich? What'd you get?
Polaroid camera.
That's good. All right. You're ahead, by the way, 3-2, Mr. Rich, in this memory test back 50 years. Now we have something we don't see around much anymore. It's a gold finish colonial bed. What would you guess, Mr. Rich?
A gold finish colonial bed?
Yeah.
Oh, in that catalog, that wouldn't be over $59.
What would you say, Mrs. Wright?
I'd say $49.
Uh-huh. It was $8.35. So reach in, Mrs. Wright. They're tied 3-3. And what did you get?
Electric washing machine.
Now you're getting somewhere, aren't you, Mrs. Wright? We have just two more. This was something. Now, remember, it was 50 years ago. A washing machine with a month's free trial. Now, remember, a washing machine 50 years ago wasn't elaborate.
A washing machine? I don't remember hearing of any washing machines 50 years ago.
They had them.
Did they? Well, they didn't cost over $25.
What would you say, Mr. Rich?
$30.
$5.65. They weren't very automatic, but Mrs. Wright has gone into the lead now. 4-3. What'd you get this time, Mrs. Wright?
I got an automatic toaster.
A deluxe automatic toaster. Now we get to the last item on the list, and this is something that was really a fad 50 years ago. They were selling them like hotcakes, but they weren't hotcakes. They were folding bathtubs. Guaranteed leak-proof. What would you say a folding bathtub would cost?
About $15.
And Mr. Rich?
$3.95.
It was $10.65. And who was the closer?
The lady's closest.
She wins 5-3. And Mrs. Wright, if you'll peek into that grab bag once again, see if you can pull out something very interesting. What does it say?
Automatic roaster oven.
Well, how do you like that? Well, Mr. Rich, 89 years old and going like a fire engine, and Mrs. Wright, thanks for proving that when it comes to memory, people are funny.
Thank you, Dave. Goodbye, sir.
At the beginning of the program, we sent an engaged couple out into Hollywood to pretend to be eloping, and we sent an actor out to pretend he was an angry father chasing them to prevent the marriage. We want to find out if strangers, right in their own homes, would be sympathetic with the young couple or with the old father. They're back now, so send them in, and let's find out what happened to them. Ah, my, still all dressed up. Miss Delord Kruger and Mr. Duane Mellinger from Lake Arrowhead. Well, did you have fun tonight?
Well, I sure did.
Surely did.
Mr. Mellinger, you were the one who was supposed to knock on the door and tell him that you had an emergency and you wanted to use the phone.
That's right. That's just exactly what I done.
And you picked out the house.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And who answered the door?
A man
or a woman?
A lady.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. What was her reaction?
She let us right in to use the phone. She says, oh, I think that's wonderful. I introduced her to the bride, and I think that's really wonderful.
Wearing your bridal veil and all, you look like a vision of loveliness. You went in, and they shut the door.
Shut the door, and I was looking up the number in the telephone book, and the actor come to the door, and she
knocked
asked who it was. And he said, let me in, and she opened the door, and he gave his speech that his daughter was running away with a no-good loafer.
And asked if they'd seen him?
Right, and she said, no, they wasn't here, and for...
And she what?
She closed the door in his face.
Slammed the door right in his face.
How do you like that? Well, are they here? Let's bring him in and meet this lady. Well, look at this lady coming in. Hello.
My name is Elizabeth Knowles.
Miss Elizabeth Knowles,
yes,
or Mrs.?
Mrs. I lecture and teach.
You what?
I teach and lecture all over the United States.
Oh, what do you teach?
The Hindu philosophy.
The Hindu philosophy.
The truth of the Hindu.
Well, that's very interesting and very unusual. You are part, unwittingly, of a little stunt here. Are you married, by the way?
No, the major's gone. He's passed on.
Oh, you were married.
Yeah.
You are a widow, then. And so when they came to the door and asked for help...
I tried to help them.
Now, what did you think when this man knocked on the door and asked about this eloping couple?
Well, I had an idea. He was going to have trouble.
Yeah.
So I was going to,
and you were on their side.
Yes, I told him he couldn't come in.
Uh-huh.
Yes, they were. All right.
Yeah, you want them to get married.
Yes, they were very nice.
Well, how do you know that the father wasn't in the right and this is a no-good scalawag?
Well, I thought, as long as they'd gone this far, I thought they knew what they were doing.
And in other words, you were sympathetic to young lovers rather than
certainly
an old father.
Certainly.
And give your little bride a kiss before you leave. That's enough. Thank you. Goodbye. Thank you. Good night.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.